A note to listeners. This episode of OJT is part of a crossover with Maddie's Mental Health Podcast, hosted by today's guest. Maddie's Mental Health Podcast is a place where people share their real-life stories about mental health. The podcast can be found on YouTube and all streaming platforms. Maddie also does personal training under his business Move Forward Fitness. He does online and in-person training with a personalized, holistic approach to health and wellness. You can find more information on social media pages under Move Forward Fitness. Be sure to check out my story on Matt's show, where I talk about living with Crohn's disease and how chronic physical illness impacts mental health. Hello, listeners. I'm Logan McLean, and this is OJT, On the Job Training. It's a podcast where I, a journalism student, practice my craft by interviewing passionate people about their projects. Matt Burke is a 25-year-old entrepreneur from Charlottetown, PEI. In the first part of our interview, Matt discusses his work as an independent personal trainer. We talk about going solo as a business, growing an audience during a pandemic, and what it means to care about health. Okay, Matt Burke, welcome to OJT.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Yeah, we're going to get into your podcast and what that's all about in a minute, but I want to talk a little bit about health and wellness stuff generally. I know you work as a personal trainer. Has like health and wellness stuff, has that always been kind of an interest of yours?
I wouldn't say it always has been. I think it kind of came to around my mid-teens. It's kind of like a troubled teenager a little bit. And I started playing football. And I just kind of, you know, it's just like the classic story of doing a 180, going from doing bad things to better things, like way more positive things, both physically and mentally. And that's kind of where it all started for me.
You said you were doing bad things before, and then sports kind of got you away from that. What were you doing before?
I just was like hanging out with the wrong people. I didn't have, kind of like any very many positive outlets. I mean, I grew up in that way. I think I just kind of lost my way in junior high. Like the whole smoking weed and drinking and hanging out with the wrong people and just not going down the good path at all. And then it wasn't until high school where I started playing football, and actually getting into music was big too. I started playing music as well. That was kind of a big thing for me. And I just started, you know, having way more positive relationships, doing more positive things. And that's when I started getting into fitness. And that's kind of where it all started for me as far as wellness and health, my own story.
Was this in like high school age?
Yep. Yeah. So it was around 15, 16 when all that started happening.
And did you say football was the sport that you kind of got into?
Yeah. Football was the sport I got into. I always loved football growing up, and we didn't really have it here, but then it started around then, or I didn't really know about before then, but I started playing in high school. There's high school football here now, high school age anyway.
What did you like about it?
I really liked the physicality of it. You know, I was kind of like a very physical, like, I don't want to say aggressive, but like I just needed that. You know, usually kids that play combat sports need that. And I felt like I did. And the sports I played before, like I played a lot of soccer before, and I liked it. And, you know, I was decent at it, but it was always like, you couldn't be very aggressive. You had to be very, mindful of not tripping people or, you know, just soccer's a different game. So I remember my first year of football, one of the coaches said, "We'll never get mad at you for being too aggressive," and that was just like music to my ears.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I've played contact sports too, and I enjoy it, I think, for similar kinds of reasons. It's not about like violence, but there's almost a thrill to getting hit, I find. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, you played running back, right?
Yeah, I played running back.
So like, you probably had quite a lot of that, getting knocked down and you kind of bounce back up and spring to your feet, like, give me another one. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, it's very, it's very primal. It's very like, you know, I think it's good. Like young men in particular, they have, you know, a lot of hormones, and it's just good to get that energy out in a way where they can do it in a safe manner. And that's really what it's about. It's, you know, like the fighting and the aggressiveness and the physicality of it. I think it's good to have an outlet for that for young men and women too. I mean, now there's a girls' league. There's a girls' senior league. A good friend of mine, Richard Lush, kind of started that. I know you interviewed him recently. And I coached a girl, and there was a girl played that I when I was there, and more girls are playing. So it's good for girls too. Same reasons.
Especially like if you're part of a really good team with good coaches, sport that's really dangerous like that, or like rugby or something where, you know, you're kind of putting your lives and bodies on the line. There's such a camaraderie that goes with that.
Yeah. No, there is for sure. And the connections, I think, is really what you get out of it, right? A good coach and mentor of mine, Joe Puglia, I had him on my podcast before. He said, and it, you know, it really stuck with me on the podcast, that, you know, the sport is just the fun part. You know, the real benefit lies in all the connections you make with the coaches and with your teammates. You know, it's lifelong connections, lifelong relationships that you make, and like real close, you know, tight connections that you'll have for the rest of your life. I seen one of my coaches today, actually, at the grocery store, and gave him a hug. You know, it's just things don't go away like that.
That kind of community is pretty meaningful.
Oh yeah, I think community is 100% meaningful. I think that's a huge part of mental health, is to have a community around you and have quality relationships. Yeah, I think it's super, super important. I think that it's something that it's missing for some people nowadays, and I think sports is a great outlet to get it.
So you went to Holland College for the sport and leisure and kinesiology program. What drew you to that? Same kind of stuff?
Yeah, the same kind of things. I mean, it took a few years off after high school, like as far as school, and I worked a lot of different jobs, and I just knew that like I was very interested in sport and in working out and in how the body works, and it's what I was doing in my free time. And yeah, ended up really liking it, and really it's just what I love to do, all aspects of it.
And you work these days as a personal trainer?
Yeah, I work as a personal trainer now. So I went to school there for 2 years, and I ended up going to the kinesiology branch. So when I went in there, I wasn't really sure. You can go in like a sports management branch where you could, you know, they basically teach you how to manage a facility and stuff like that. And there's also the kinesiology branch, which is more like science-based, and you're in the gym, you know, the whole second year you're just in the gym, like learning how to be a trainer and, you know, everything that goes along with it. And I didn't know which one I wanted to go into, and I just fell in love with the training side, and I went in it, and I did a couple other things after school, but I've been a trainer now for 2 years. I was always doing it kind of on the side or on my own, but now I'm doing it full time.
What do you like about that?
What do I like about that?
Yeah, about training. You said you fell in love with it.
I really love the connections that you make with the people. What it really comes down to is being a coach. I think that's my favorite thing to do. I went back and coached football as well, but I really enjoy like making quality connections with people and helping them better their life, whether that's on the football field, you know, the impact I have there, helping the kids get better and trying to guide them and be a mentor as best I can, or whether it's one-on-one personal training. I just slowly help people reach their goals of fitness and, you know, support them in any way I can. And then it's so interesting how the whole life shift tends to change, starting with fitness, and then, you know, all of a sudden they have more energy and they have more time to play with their kids and their relationships get better, and they start doing more hobbies that they didn't do before. And that life change and that life shift that comes about when you start to open your mind and better your health, and then better, and then it goes from there to better your mind and better your life. And just to see that shift in people, I think that's why I do it. I love doing it. I just love helping people.
Sounds like that community aspect is in there too.
Yeah, no, it's a community for sure. Yeah, it's, you know, I was talking to a friend of mine who's also a trainer last night, and we were talking about this, like, really, and it ties into mental health. I think what people are missing is connection. And, you know, if we can provide that as a trainer, you know, a solid connection and help them better their life and better their fitness, better their health, and everything that comes along with that. You know, it's like, you can't take claim for someone's life getting better totally. You know, you help them as much as you can. You give them the connection of yourself, but, you know, it's like, a lot of times it's kind of a kickstart in the right direction with that, you know, a lot of dominoes fall after that.
Do you get much positive feedback from people?
For sure, yeah. And it's just that, like, I've seen it time and time again where someone will come to me that's you know, very overweight, and it's not just the weight and the shape, you know, that's the reason, that's what usually gets them in the door, you know. It's and by the way, it's not always that, you know, some people just feel like they want structure and maybe they just want the connection too, but oftentimes maybe it's the weight and they feel you know, low self-confidence, and they just feel like something's got to change. And then it's amazing to see, like, you know, 6 months to a year down the road, there's a significant change, you know, sometimes night and day. And all of a sudden they're doing all these things that they imagined they wanted to do. All of a sudden they're realistic. You know, if I think it just goes to, like, if you can accomplish one thing, you know, even if it's small, and that's how we start is small. But as soon as you accomplish one thing, you know, the rest, another thing doesn't seem as unimaginable anymore.
Are you working independently? Like, are you your own boss?
Yeah, I'm working independently now. So I worked at a gym before. I recently left to start my own business. So right now I am independent. It's called Maddie's Move Forward Fitness.
How's that been with COVID?
It's been a little bit of a challenge for sure. You know, it's, I was doing groups outdoors during the summer. And I'm still doing one-on-ones. I'm following all the regulations and guidelines. Luckily with one-on-ones, you know, it's not a group gathering, it's just a one-on-one. And I'm at the point now where there's a lot of trust between myself and my clients. It is a little bit tough just because it's tough to bring in new clients at this time. To have, you know, kind of an influx of new people, but I'm in a good place now with my clients, and we're just kind of waiting to see where the COVID goes as far as things in the future and more groups and gatherings and things of that nature.
Did you start independent before COVID?
No, I didn't start independent before COVID. So COVID was actually kind of springboarded me in that direction. I was working at a gym. I'd been working there, and I didn't do much social media as far as promoting myself. And COVID hit and the gym shut down, and I figured, hey, I might as well make a page. I wanted to do it anyway. And then I was working out every day, and I thought, I may as well videotape this and upload it to my page, because, you know, if I'm doing it, why wouldn't I share it with people? Why wouldn't I help people in this situation feel better and get moving? So that's what I did, and I did Maddie's home workouts. I did 145 of them. I stopped about 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I did those Monday through Friday. It was roughly about 20 minutes to a half hour of majority body weight workouts, or I would do demonstrations with household things that you could use for weight. And I did those Monday through Friday for, I guess, like 8 months straight. So that's how it all started. It all started during the pandemic.
Did you do like a different routine every day?
Yeah, I did a different routine every day. I mean, I had a basic format, and I would just switch it up. And then that's what I did. And I did a few other videos too, like a few mobility videos. And yeah.
What was the viewership like? Did you get like a lot of people?
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of people watching. A lot of people were messaging me and thanking me for doing it, especially during like the heat of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people were doing them and following along. And usually I would get anywhere like, you know, at least 100 views to, you know, a lot of times 300 or 400 views.
Solid.
You know, sometimes on each platform as well, I would do Instagram and Facebook. So I was getting a lot of views and I was getting a lot of positive messages. So
people probably appreciated that you did body weight stuff too, eh? Because it was so hard to find weights.
Yeah, exactly. And that was my thing, was like, I think there's a barrier to entry sometimes with fitness. That's not true, that you need equipment, because you really don't. I mean, you can get a great workout just with your body weight. So that's what I wanted to do. You know, or even minimal weights, or just something that's weighted around the house. So that's what I wanted to do, was like, you know, don't use this time as an excuse. And I'm talking to myself as well, not to work out. I mean, all you need is the space of a yoga mat. You don't even need a yoga mat, just a space on the floor, big enough for your body. And you can follow along and do this and feel better, because, you know, the impact of getting locked down was probably pretty great for a lot of people.
Yeah, and it was kind of a way to fight back too. You know, you may not be able to do a lot of things, but at least you can take control of that hour of each day, do what you're going to do for yourself.
Yes, exactly. And that's what that was my philosophy on it, was, you know, you can take this time to get better too. You know, you don't have to, just do what's inside of your control and do the best you can. And that's all you can do.
You can go to work without pants every day and work out.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So did you get a lot of people like telling you that they were doing stuff because of COVID?
Like doing more exercise because of COVID?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, a lot of people said that. And I mean, it's evident if you looked outside, like a lot of kids got bikes.
Yeah.
And they were just constantly outside. A lot of people were walking every day. I walked like 3 or 4 times a day. My dogs, they were loving it. And I would see a ton of people out every day. And so I think that part of it was, you know, it wasn't all negative. It was just people get outside more. And then, yeah, I think it went either way, right? I think it went, some people decided that this is the time they're going to work out and kind of take it upon themselves to make a change, or it kind of went the other way where there was a little bit, you know, more drinking and stuff. But, you know, I don't judge people for that. It's a hard time for everybody, right?
Yeah,
and it's all just about, you know, making the change when you can.
So do you see a long-term future in this kind of work?
Can you say that again? Sorry.
Do you see like a career future doing this kind of work?
100%. It's what I want to do for the rest of my life. You know, some form of coaching. I mean, I'll be a personal trainer probably for the rest of my life. And, you know, I'm building an online platform now. And, you know, whether it's just one-on-ones or whether it's groups or whether it's working with kids as well too, it'll all be a form of coaching, and that's what I'm going to do for sure.
Do you think you'll be able to make it work going solo the way that you're doing?
Yeah, I think so. I have a partner too I'm talking to now. And we've been working together for the last few months, and he's a personal trainer as well. So we're planning on coming together soon, and that will be something that everybody sees soon. So I think that's really big too. I think having a partner can be super beneficial. Like two minds instead of one, especially if it's the right partner.
And that will do it for this week's OJT. Now it's time for the progress report. This is my bi-weekly reflection on OJT and its many parts. The final semester of J-School continues to be forward-thinking. Maybe too much at times, but that's a report for another day. The biggest thing, maybe, is that I applied for a journalism job on PEI. Saltwire, the publisher of most of the non-Irving papers in the Maritimes, is starting a quick hit desk. It's a different sort of job, though the title is Multimedia Junior Reporter. It sounds like I wouldn't be gathering primary material through interviews, but writing stories from documents, releases, reports, recorded interviews, and notes. I guess the idea is to free up senior reporters to do more in-depth work while making sure the less flashy but still essential news gets covered. It sounds like a good starting place, even if it's not out and about interviewing people all the time. As much as I love that part of journalism, I also get really into the research side, which this job could have a lot of. If it works out, it could be a great way to learn more political and legal stuff, which I've been studying lately anyway. It's also a job for the region, not just PEI. Even better, in terms of the educational part. And I'm always looking for the educational part. I got a lot of it recently when our class had to go to provincial court to watch a sentencing. We only had to be there about an hour, but we all stayed for three. I've always found law stuff interesting, and it was cool to see inside and get a sense of how it works. I sat right behind the accused, where you really feel some of the emotion and interactions with the defense. I took law in high school, studied its roots in university, and then had a Law for Journalists course in J school. So it was useful, I think, to have a real-world experience to go with it. The last thing I'll mention is pretty big, too. I finally got to go to The Guardian in person. It was the same day as court, actually, so we just went down with Ryan Ross, the court reporter. It is so nice to get there for real. The byline in the paper is probably the biggest thing, especially with COVID limiting space in the offices, but any amount I can get inside and get familiar makes a difference. I had a nice, awkward meeting with the manager doing hiring for the Saltwire job when I was trying to get into the building. We were both a little unsure who the other was at first, and I failed to say, "Hi, I'm Logan," like I do every other time I meet someone. But this was after I'd pitched three stories during the morning meeting, and after he spoke with my instructor for a reference. So I'm just pretending it didn't happen. Actually, after writing this, I got a call about an interview in a couple of days, so. Main takeaway, aside from that mild mortification, is that I want to work there, or somewhere like that. I've had a lot of doubts about this business, but the past couple months are the best I've felt about it since September of first year. Find Maddie's Move Forward Fitness on Facebook and Instagram under the same name. Our next topic, Maddie's Mental Health Podcast, is also on Facebook and Instagram under the same name. Stream it everywhere, including YouTube. And watch for my appearance, available now. Follow this podcast on Instagram at @OJT_podcast and on Twitter at @OJTpodcast. The Facebook page is OJT On The Job Training. Follow me on Instagram at logan.mclean.75 and on Twitter at loganmclean94. And finally, listeners, please check out my website, ojtpod.ca. The podcast is available there and on all major streaming platforms. Please rate and subscribe and leave a review. Everything helps when getting a podcast off the ground. And if you like this show, want more interesting guests, listener feedback is the best way to help me reach new people and make that happen. This has been OJT On The Job Training. I'm Logan McLean. Thank you for listening.